Hello and welcome to the Book Launch Show. I am Tim Grawl. And in this episode, Valerie and I talk around a lot of different things. And one of the main things we hit on is understanding the difference between permission content and outreach, how to keep track of those, how to think about those. And so it's a really hopefully clarifying episode. And I really drive home a point about outreach that I think is really important. So I think you'll like that. Also, I just want to mention, you know, just in the last week, I've had four people email me wanting to hire me. And that's even though on the website, I say that I'm not available for hire. And I totally get that. But right now, I'm just really booked up. And I just want to let you know that if you want some help with your book launch, if you want some help building your platform, if you just want some coaching on book marketing, we have a small group of highly trained, really great book launch coaches. They're at booklaunch.com/coaching. They've gone through a lot of training to make their way onto that page. And so I highly recommend you reach out to them. You know, I don't get paid, you know, for you hiring them. They don't give me a cut or anything. I don't make any money off of you hiring them. This is just my way of providing support so that you can get the support you need for your book marketing, for your book launch effort. So highly recommend you check that out if you're wanting some one-on-one support. Also want to mention that I have lots of articles and trainings and downloads and all kinds of things. If you're wanting to really delve into a lot of book marketing stuff, that's available at booklaunch.com/resources. Lots of book marketing resources there as well. So go ahead and check that out as well. So for now, let's go ahead and jump into this episode and get started. So this podcast is all about marketing, launching your book. But if you're an author and you have a book coming out, book already out, you're doing something special. You're doing something that most people are afraid to do, in my opinion. They're actually going after that thing that they want. Everybody says they want to write a book. You've actually done it. You're actually doing it. And what that means is that you have a dream that you're trying to accomplish. You have this idea of the kind of writer you want to be, the kind of life you want to live, the kind of artist you want to be. And so I wrote my book, Running Down a Dream, Your Roadmap to Winning Creative Battles, for people just like you. Based on my last decade of overcoming my creative battles, of being stuck in the mud, stuck feeling like I'm always going to be a failure, stuck feeling like this thing that I want is stupid and never going to happen. And I wrote this book to share the true journey of what this looks like. A lot of self-help books, a lot of books about creativity, they kind of share, oh, well, it was really hard. And then look at all the awesome stuff I learned. And this book is different. It will walk you through what I think the real story of running down a dream really, really looks like. So I put everything in there. And on top of that, I put the tools I learned along the way. So if you know anything about me and my work, you know, I can't help but be practical. So I took that story of running down my dream, of chasing what I wanted in life, of overcoming creative battles, and I broke it down into really practical tools that you can apply to overcome your own creative demons. So Running Down a Dream is out now. It's at Amazon and all the other different places that you can buy books. It's available audiobook, ebook, and paperback. So check it out, buy a copy, share one with a friend, and it's a great way to support this show. Thanks.
Welcome to the Book Launch Podcast, helping authors launch and market their books.
Hey, Tim, how are you today?
I'm fine. Good to talk to you, Valerie.
Yeah. I'm feeling a little like the bee's knees this week. Remember last week when we spoke, I had an idea for my author update. And it was a bit different. And I'm still not sure, even when I listened back to the recording, I'm still not sure if I convinced you whether it was a good idea or not. but I did anyway.
I think by the end, you had convinced me.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Because I did it anyway. And I got a lot of really great feedback from people. My author update was there, but it was hidden in the story. So one person emailed me And it was someone who was a writer who didn't know about this particular podcast and found out about it because I had mentioned it in this little story. So if she's going to be listening to this episode now. So hello. So that was fun. In fact, you know, 5 minutes after it went out, I got a text from one of my friends who she reads all the stuff just because she's my friend. I didn't even know what she was texting me about because it was so quick after when I sent it out. So people really loved it, from people who I know really well and friends to people who are on the list who I haven't interacted with as much. So I think it's going to work. I think it's going
to
work.
Good. See, this is why you shouldn't listen to me.
Well, I did listen to you. I just took a different take. So I was hoping I was ticking the marketing boxes that needed to be ticked, but presenting the material in a way that was a little more interesting. Again, because I'm trying to promote my fiction and myself as an author. If I was promoting my editing services, I don't think this approach would work very well, because mm-hmm. a writer who has an issue with her story is going to want the solution to the issue. So she's not going to want to read a whole story from me to find the solution to her problem. What she's going to want is a quick bullet list of here are the articles I wrote and here's the topics so that you can go and find the solution to your problem as quickly as possible. But I think with readers, the problem they had or have, and I'm including myself in this as a reader, what I'm looking for is entertainment.
Yes.
Right? So I thought if I could give my author update in an entertaining way, it would encourage people to read it while also knowing what I'm up to as a writer. So I'm going to keep going with it because people seem to like it. It seemed to get some interaction. My newsletters never got any feedback, ever. So the fact that I started to gather the comments because I wanted to show you. I stopped gathering them because there were quite a few.
And that's great.
One of the people on my list actually has a magazine for writers, author success stories. And she asked if she could include it in her magazine as the slice of life section. So she's going to do that with my photo and web address. So that was really fun. Yeah. So yay.
Yeah. I mean, and I think I came to this conclusion when we talked, but it was basically like, there's guidelines that we need to hit, and then there's ways that I would do it. And there's like this fuzzy line that sometimes I can't always see that's like, hey, you know, it's hitting all the marks that it needs to hit. It's just not how I would go about doing it. And that doesn't mean that it's wrong. It just means I won't necessarily like it because that's not how I would go about doing it. So I think it's great that you went with your gut on that and that you're already getting such great feedback. So yeah, I think you made the right decision, obviously.
It just comes back to the conversation we've had a couple of times now on personas. And that was a really challenging exercise, but a very valuable one. Because if I didn't have that sheet in front of me with my four personas that I had created, I wouldn't have come up with this particular idea, which clearly has resonated with the people on my list. And you're not one of my personas either.
That's true. Right? Yeah. That's kind of the point, right?
Right.
Is like you're not writing it for me because you're not who I'm trying. I'm in the middle of my course Author Platform 101. I'm in the middle of recording version 2 of it. And, you know, it's funny, as I go through this stuff, I kind of remind myself about it, because most of the time when I talk about this stuff, it's in the way that you and I do, which is like bits and pieces here and there over a long period of time. So whenever I'm forced to like sit down and put it in order, like I remember when I was writing the first draft of your first 1,000 copies, it was like the hardest part was taking all of this stuff I knew and putting it into a form where it made sense from, you know, point A to point Z. So yes, just yesterday I was talking about content and the whole, right? So I talk about permission, content, and outreach. And the reason why you put out content is to signal to the right people that you're right for them, right? So it's like a good book cover signals to people that this book is for you. And so with the kind of content you're putting out in the newsletter, you're signaling to the right people that you're a good fit for them. Where if I got that email, I would kind of get halfway through and be like, I'm good, you know, which is the whole point. So I think, again, that's right, where when we reached this, you know, you had gotten to the point where you wanted to do the update, you knew what the goals were, and then you were deciding based on your knowledge of your audience exactly how to go about that. And I didn't love it because I'm not your audience.
And it's interesting, I'm watching, you know, I mentioned last time that I cleaned up my subscriber list a little bit. So I'm watching the list change. I don't necessarily have a lot more subscribers, but new people are subscribing and other people are unsubscribing because my focus now is not necessarily for them, which is fine, which is totally cool. You know, the list that I have has sort of been created from a mishmash of different marketing activities. So they may have thought I was for them before, but now they're thinking, oh yeah, okay, I can see where she's going, and that's not what I'm interested in. So that's cool. I think it's all positive, and it's a step in the right direction for helping me find the other people who are interested in the things that I'm interested in. So I'm chalking it up as a win.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, a lot of people stress because I've had authors say they want to stop sending emails so that people will stop unsubscribing, because every time they send an email, people unsubscribe. And I'm like, man, they're just saving you money, because you pay for your list based on how many people are on it. And so if people are unsubscribing, they were never going to buy anything from you anyway. So they're just saving you hassle. They're dead weight. Really looking at the engagement, how many people are engaging with you is the most. And so the fact that you had more feedback on this email than anything you've sent, I mean, that's really good.
The other thing that happened since we spoke last is that one of the podcasts that I did an interview for went live.
Okay.
And I got some really great feedback on that as well. When we talked about the autoresponders, well, this is quite a few weeks ago now, and I set up my autoresponders, one of the things you had suggested I do is let people know about something else I've done, right? You know, have a look at my website, and here's an interview I did that you might find interesting. Well, I didn't really have much to use there because everything I'd been doing for the last year was all me as an editor, not me as a writer. So now that this interview has gone live, and it's a podcast, but she also posts it to YouTube, so I have a video that I can use, I went back and updated my autoresponders with that particular interview.
Oh, great.
So that was perfect. Good. Yeah. Oh, and the weird thing that happened, like wonderfully weird, in that interview, it was Rachel Herron's, it's her podcast, and Rachel asked me about my writing process. And I said, well, I have a little affirmation that I repeat to myself. When I wake up, I get up. When I get up, I write. One of her listeners took that and created a meme or something from it. And this popped up in my Twitter feed, this designed version of my quote. It was weird and wonderful all at the same time, a bit Twilight Zone-ish. But this popped up in my Twitter feed and my Instagram feed, and that was, it was kind of cool. That will probably be the topic of my next author update.
Yeah. The way that I picture everything marketing, I can't remember if we've talked about this, is everything is just a spark. You're starting spark after spark after spark after spark. Most of them immediately die. And then some of them like take off and take a life of their own, you know, so there's no way that you could, you know, make that happen directly.
Right.
But just doing the thing, which is promoting, creates opportunities that you couldn't have come across yourself.
Yeah, it was kind of fun. It was kind of cool. So I took a screenshot of that.
That's great.
Let's see. What else do I have here? Okay, so now that I'm starting to do outreach and I'm starting to get some sort of coherent approach to my marketing, I wanted to come up with some kind of way to track what I'm doing. And so again, I went back to my handy dandy spreadsheet, and I just started kind of at the beginning of this month when I started to do, when my podcast, the podcast that I was a guest on when that first came out. If you look at the spreadsheet I created, it's pretty simple. I just have a list of a couple of columns, the date, the marketing activity. Then I've got four columns for the connection system, and then a column for any notes that I want to make to myself. Because I'm trying to make sure I have a balance of activities, right? Outreach, content, and permission. And then, of course, there's sales, but I haven't even gotten to that one yet. So when I look at my outreach, okay, that's the podcast that I'm doing. Primarily, that's the podcast that I'm doing, because even this podcast that I'm on right now is more content than anything else. Like the StoryGrid Editor Roundtable podcast, that's content. But that's content technically for me as an editor. So if you look there, I've got an X, but I've got an E next to it because it's, you know, Valerie as editor, not Valerie as writer.
Right. Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
So that tells me I think I have some work to do there. Outreach is the podcast that I'm going on as a guest, right? Like the one with Rachel Herron. Permission is, well, that's getting people to sign up to my list, but I'm thinking about it as the way I develop the relationship with the people on my list. So that's my book club and my author updates. Am I categorizing that right?
There may be kind of a fundamental flaw in how you're trying to track this.
What a surprise. Okay. So, lay it on me.
So permission is a way to get people's attention and drive action, right? So that's an email list. And that is trying to get people on the email list. So once you have like your homepage with a good email sign up, you know, you basically have everything set up to drive people to your email list. You're mostly done with permission as far as like it's a, okay, again, let's look at like typical marketing sales things, like a funnel. This is all you're building is a funnel. Well, once you have the funnel, most of the work, right? So if we're thinking about an actual real funnel, right, where you put it in a bottle and you're pouring something in the top. Once you have the funnel, most of the work is just pouring stuff in the top. So what I have found is, once you have your email list set up, once you are creating, right? So like that, the thing you're sending out, the author update, is content that you're creating every month. Once you've got that going, that goes on kind of autopilot. And then most of your activity should be on outreach. So once you have the email list set up, you're sending stuff out twice a month to the email list. That part is just kind of going, right? Even though you're having to create stuff, you're not coming up with new ideas. You're just doing the thing.
Right.
Right. So there shouldn't be an extreme amount of new activity around that other than what the system you've already created. Because we've decided, okay, you're going to do this for 6 months and see how it goes. So you're not coming up with new ideas on what to do. So you don't really need to keep track of what you're doing for permission because you're kind of done setting that up. And that's why when I talk about this, I always say outreach is the hardest because you have to constantly be doing it. Where everything else, you kind of set it up and put it on autopilot.
Okay.
In fact, I have friends that literally set it up and put it on autopilot. So I have a friend who has 3 years of emails, weekly emails. So 150 emails set up in an automated system so that when people sign up on her website, they get 3 years worth of emails promoting different pieces of content and like on a regular cycle promoting her courses and stuff. And it 100% runs on autopilot. And then all of her work is driving people to that thing. So like in that extreme example, 100% of her work is outreach. So I would say the whole point of setting all that stuff up is so that you can go to do outreach and are confident that you have a system to catch it, right? Because a lot of people will say, like, get an opportunity to speak at a conference in front of 100 people. And so they go and speak, maybe 5 or 10 people that were in the audience buy a copy of their book, but then it's like they have a bucket and it just has holes in the bottom. So they get in front of all these people, but they have no way to catch them, right? So my thing is like get an email list set up, right? You could look at your website this way. If you have a website but no email list sign up, no way for you to stay in contact with people long term, your website's like a bucket with no bottom. Like all these people are coming to your website and then they fall right out the bottom and you never see them again. So the whole point of setting up the email list is to catch those people and then keep them engaged. Well, once that's set up, that's done. Now your job is to just pour as many people in the top as possible.
All right. I wondered about this because I had my book club and the author updates as content first. And I thought, well, maybe they're actually permission. And then I thought, I'm spending too much time worrying about this.
You have to have all three, mm-hmm. but they all interact, right? So permission without content would be getting people on an email list and never sending them anything.
Right.
Right. And every outreach opportunity you have, almost every outreach opportunity you have is content driven, right? So you get on a podcast and for 30 minutes you share content, or, you know, you do a book giveaway, right? Like it's some sort of giveaway, you know, it's some sort of content. Cause again, your content is dividing people, whether they're in or out of your tribe. My thing is, okay, great. You've got your email list set up. People are signing up. That's awesome. Okay, you've got a plan for keeping those people engaged with the book club and the author updates. Perfect. Keep doing that. Okay, that's done. Now your job is to get as many people into that as possible. And that's outreach. So now, you know, 90% of your 90 to 95% of your marketing time should be on outreach. But the place that most people make a mistake is because outreach is hard and uncomfortable, they keep churning on getting their website perfect or writing another blog post or putting more stuff on social media. Like they're avoiding the outreach part, which is the only way to make any of it work.
Because the content is so much easier.
It is because you control it. One, as authors, we're content producing machines. Like we're used to creating content. So as authors, it's like comfortable. The other side is like you 100% control it, and it does not require putting yourself out there for rejection in the same way that outreach is. So my thing is like get all that set and get a system going. So this, you know, the whole point of a system is so you don't have to think about it, right? So you don't have to think about, well, how many emails am I going to send out this month? Or what am I going to put in the emails this month? You're like, okay, whatever the next book is. Okay, whatever's happened in the last, like you already know the answers to those questions for the next 6 months. So now all of the creative energy of what to do should be going into outreach.
Doing this exercise, one, it helps me stay organized, and I'm a visual person. So now I can look at a spreadsheet and see exactly what I'm heavy on and where the weaknesses are. So that's good.
So like this podcast, the Story Grid Roundtable podcast, those things don't count. They shouldn't even be on here. While they may like tangentially find new readers of your fiction, they're not really finding new readers of your fiction.
Right. That's why I put the E right next to them, because it allowed me to look at it and say, oh, I got a problem here.
I think you should have a spreadsheet that is tracking only your outreach endeavors. That's what I do. I have an outreach spreadsheet that I use for everything, that I keep track of all of my outreach, because outreach is the only thing that constantly requires new, I don't know how to put this. It's like you do four podcasts. Okay. You now have to go find four more. Right now it gets easier, but there is no like rhythm. You know what I mean? Where it's like, I'm sending out an email every week, or I've already set up my website to get email subscribers. So I don't have to keep setting up my website to get email subscribers. Although people love to do that. Now it's like, okay, you've done, what is it? Four podcasts. You've got yeses on. You need to get four more, and then you need to get four more, and then you need to turn those into like some kind of partnership where you're promoting one, their book, and they're promoting yours, so that you both get email subscribers. And then you need to go speak somewhere as an author of women's fiction to a crowd of people that read women's fiction, so that you can get people to sign up. You know, like it's constant outreach to get your email list to the point where you've got 5,000 women on there that love that.
One of the questions you asked me a few podcasts ago, I can't remember when, everything's blending in, but one of the questions that you asked me was, where do your readers hang out? So I have been investigating that and doing some search. I mean, there's podcasts, yes. It would be easier. Podcasts is easier for Valerie, the editor, as opposed to Valerie, the fiction writer. So I thought, where else do avid readers hang out? And I found a couple of places. Have you heard of BookTubers?
Wait, you mean like as a class of people? Like there's lots of different BookTubers, right? You're not talking about one specific.
No, they're primarily this is preliminary research, but they're primarily young adult book reviewers.
Yeah, right? I've heard of them.
Right. So we talked about turning my book club into, you know, at some point, other forms of content, like an audio file or a video file. And I thought, okay, there's a group of readers who are interested in enough in books to subscribe heavily to BookTubers. There are some there reviewing women's fiction. And when I say some, I mean some of those videos have 100,000 views, like insane number. This is the reason I'm bringing it up, because the numbers are insane. So I thought, okay, that's one place I can look at. There are other groups like Litzy, which is like Goodreads, but without the commercial infrastructure around it.
Okay.
And I'm watching Eloisa James, who's a romance writer. I'm watching how she's using Litzy to interact with her readers and to develop a relationship with them. So I'm sort of using her as a case study. It's fascinating stuff, because these are avid readers. They're there to talk about books. She's doing a lot of the same things that I'm doing with my book club. She's just doing it in Litzy, right? Like she's talking about, here's a book that she's read that she really loved. Here's an author she's heard about that she wants to investigate. And she's engaging with the readers just about books that they love. You know, this is the common area of interest, right? So those are a couple of other areas that I'm investigating in addition to podcasts. I don't have a strategy yet. I haven't really done anything with it. I'm just sort of asking myself the question, where do my readers hang out?
So who was the author that you said is doing that on there?
Eloisa James.
And is she like huge or?
Yes. There may be other authors on there doing it. She's just the one I started with.
I would email her and ask her what she's doing and if it's working, and kind of just ask her like two simple questions. Hey, I saw you're on Litzy doing such and such. I'm an author of the Masquerade series. I was just curious, what are you doing? Are you finding that it's helping connecting with your readers? Something like that. And just see if she'll respond and tell you.
That'll be an interesting experiment. Why not?
Yeah, I do this all the time, because I think, I can't remember if I told you this on here, but like I have this friend who's really like always at the cutting edge of the internet marketing stuff and like the video course stuff. And my goal is to be a year behind him, right? So I let him do all the stuff and spend all the money to figure out what's working. And then I just learn from him. And I just stay a year behind him. I joke with him about it all the time. It kind of reminds me of my dad's way of turning down multi-level marketers, you know, that are like, hey, you know, I'm going to retire in 5 years or whatever. He's like, okay, come back in a year, show me how you're going to retire in 4 years, and I'll sign up and I'll just retire a year after you, and I'll be happy. And of course, they never come back. So my thing is like, if you find somebody who's doing something that seems like it's working, just ask them what they're doing. Like, don't try to figure it out on your own. Most people will just tell you. And if you find three or four authors that are doing stuff on there that seem to be really active, one of them will like have an email or even get on the phone with you and have a conversation about what they're doing. Like, I don't know. You know, there's too many things for me to personally keep up with. So your instincts are right of like, you're like, okay, here's a possible thing, right? So I would just reach out to authors that are being active on there and get them to teach you what they've gone through a year and a half of learning, so you don't have to go through that process.
This sounds like homework.
That does sound like homework. Yeah, I mean,
me and Eloise are hanging out.
Yeah. I mean, the principle is very simple, is if you see somebody doing something that's working, get them to teach you so you don't have to go through the process of learning it yourself.
Which is what I'm doing with you.
Exactly. Yeah, so it speeds up the process. And I always think it's like a paying it forward thing of like, you know, you'll do it for somebody else. So it's not like you're just, you know, mooching off of people ahead of you, because what you may find is that they might say, you know, I don't think it helps my book sales at all. I just really enjoy it. Oh, okay. That means if we're talking strictly marketing, it's a waste of time. It's like being on Instagram. It feels good, doesn't really do anything. So what I would rather you do is figure that out before you spend 8 months trying to build something on it.
So I'm going to do a little more digging into Litzy just to see what other authors are there and what they're doing so that I can have a couple of people that I can reach out to.
Yeah, I think that'd be good.
That's my homework.
All right. Sounds good.
We still didn't get to our back cover blurbs. That's what we'll talk about next week.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Resistance is strong on the back cover blurbs. I'm telling you.
Oh, that's an easy part. We'll get to that. We'll knock it out.
All right. Well, all right. Then we'll do that next week. Okay. I'm off to, you know, email Eloisa.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Book Launch Show. For all the past episodes, the show notes, or to connect with me, you can go to booklaunchshow.com. I have dozens of free book marketing resources and articles that you can access at my website, booklaunch.com. Lastly, if you'd like to support the show, you can do that by telling another author about the show and by visiting us on Apple Podcasts and leaving a rating and review. Thanks for subscribing and being a part of our work here at booklaunch.com. We will see you next week.